The United States and Iran have had a hostile relationship for the past 25 years, ever since the Shah of Iran was overthrown and the late Ayatollah Khomeini created the Islamic Republic. A black Muslim from America has had a unique view of Iran during these times. For most of the past 25 years, he has lived in Iran, witnessing revolution, war with Iraq, conflict with the U.S., and more recently, a so far unsuccessful effort at reform. He's also a fugitive from American justice. NPR's Mike Schuster found him during a recent visit to Tehran.
He was born David Belfield 54 years ago in North Carolina. In the late 1960s, he became a black Muslim and took the name Dawood Salahuddin. In 1980, recruited by the revolutionary government in Iran, he shot and killed Ali Akbar Tabatabai in Bethesda, Maryland. Tabatabai was a former Iranian diplomat who supported the deposed Shah. Salahuddin fled to Iran, and he has been living there since, working mostly as a journalist for an English-language newspaper. There is no extradition treaty between the U.S. and Iran. In the late 1980s, he went to Afghanistan and fought with the Mujahideen against the Soviet Red Army. Through it all, Salahuddin has not shed the cynicism and anger he grew up with. He is highly critical of the actions the U.S. has taken in the Middle East since 9/11, especially the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. The U.S., he says, needs to face up to the role it played in creating the very enemies it has been fighting these past 4 years.
You look at the Taliban, you look at Saddam Hussein. These are both entities, governments, that somehow achieved their prominence with very explicit American support. If they hadn't had that, then, for instance, Saddam, he wouldn't have been able to gas the Iranians with impunity. He wouldn't have been given the fundaments of a nuclear weapons program. The Iranians probably would never have been interested in nuclear weapons themselves. There was a very real feeling in this country during the war that if Saddam developed a nuclear weapon and used it, that nobody would pay any attention to it. The world would turn a blind eye.
In Tehran, few people would recognize Salahuddin as an American. He wears a plain brown tunic and a black beret. His beard is trimmed close to his face. He has learned Farsi. He has the air of a scholar. Some years ago, he married an Iranian woman. He has no children. Not long ago, Salahuddin turned up as an actor in an Iranian movie made in Afghanistan. The film is called Kandahar, and in it he plays an American doctor. Because of what brought him to Iran in the first place, occasionally the Iranians have approached him to consider other similar jobs. At one point, they asked whether he would consider killing Saddam Hussein.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, I was asked that, but I mean, it's, you know, that's fairyland, you know. Well, I'm sure they were serious, but I mean, you know, it was simply impossible.
As for Iran itself, Salahuddin is remarkably candid about how he views the evolution of the Islamic Republic. He is a supporter of recent reform efforts and has nothing but praise for outgoing President Mohammad Khatami, a reformist leader who for 8 years has been largely stymied from bringing political and economic reforms to Iran by conservative politicians and clerics. Iran is deeply misunderstood in the United States, he says.
With all of its imperfections, with all of its contradictions, there is no nation in this part of the world more democratic than the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Democracy is a process, he argues, and it is underway in Iran, but there are political rivalries and tensions, especially between Iran's supreme religious leader and its president.
Quite obviously, there are contradictions, like there are contradictions in every democracy in the world. When the United States came into being, people who looked like me weren't even people. Women didn't vote. All democracies have huge teething problems, and Iran is no different. And obviously, there are contradictions here that have to be solved, and I think those contradictions have to deal mostly with unelected bodies that have powers that can sometimes supersede those of elected bodies. But I think the Iranians have done a fairly remarkable job.
Through much of this time, he has thought about returning to the United States. Some years ago, Salahuddin thought he might have found a way. After the first bombing of the World Trade Center in 1993, a counterterrorism agent from Washington contacted him by phone. The agent thought Salahuddin might have information the investigators could use. The relationship flourished, apparently providing mutual benefits to each man.
We used to look to each other for help because, I mean, once we made contact with each other, we used to, talk about different things and try to work on different projects. One of those projects was my returning home, but there were other things involved, too. Somehow all that stuff got stopped by either the State Department or the Justice Department. We never got all the details worked out because he died.
In 1994, Salahuddin wrote to then Attorney General Janet Reno about the circumstances under which he might return to the United States. But he never received a response. Now he says he finds it difficult to see how he could return, especially in the post-9/11 atmosphere.
I'm an Afghan veteran. Worse than that is that I'm a black, I'm a Muslim, and I acted on behalf of a foreign government. I can't think of a worse scenario for a courtroom in America today.
Dawood Salahuddin does not express remorse for the act of murder that brought him to Iran a quarter of a century ago. He has called it an act of war. He still sees it that way. The case remains open in Maryland. Mike Schuster, NPR News.